You know we're feeling the Chicago Bears when we let this song go a little longer than usual? That's how it works here. The Chicago Bears, of course, today, the first day of free agency. It started at 3 o'clock. I have to say, I guess, the temporary, or what do you call it, the legal tampering is just an area of negotiation for the first couple days. So we kind of already knew that Allen Robinson, Trey Burton, and Taylor Gabriel were coming to the Chicago Bears before they signed today. But some new names added to that list, and more importantly, some names that will not be back next year. And what does it mean for the Bears moving forward? Adam Hogue, Chicago Bears insider, who you can hear every day at Sports Central and WGNRadio.com at 1 o'clock, also doing postgame for the Chicago White Sox. Adam, busy, busy day. Are the Chicago Bears better?
I think they are, Justin, and I don't think it's hard to make that argument. Now, at the same time, you see the release that the Bears today release Marcus Wheaton and Marcus Cooper and Mike Glennon, and Deion Sims could be next, and those were all the guys that they signed at this exact time last year.
Exactly.
So you got to be careful with this, not get too excited, but I do think that this is a different type of free agents class this year. They went in a little bit harder. Right? I mean, to pull in, certainly Allen Robinson, I think, is on a, I think the other night when I was on with you, I called him kind of an A/B type player. And at that point, we weren't sure if it was going to be Allen Robinson or Sammy Watkins, but I made the case for Allen Robinson.
Yes.
Because I think he gives you a little bit better value and a little bit more consistency and a little bit more upside overall. So I like that signing for the Bears. And I do think that that's certainly, look, we're seeing an offense that's just better. Trey Burton, I think there's a case to be made that he can, in a better situation with more opportunities, be more productive than he was in Philly. And just talking to people in Philadelphia, they loved him. So there's a lot of reasons to look at these signings positively and not think of them like, oh, a year from now, are they even going to be on the team? But especially with those two.
Yeah, and you just, you know, I have been somewhat of a pessimist, and I don't understand why, because I will be the first to tell you 12-4, 13-3 every spring or every fall when we get ready to start the football season. I am a Chicago Bear homer. But there's some, and I love the Allen Robinson. That's a given. He's the best receiver on the market. They needed a receiver. It was a no-brainer. I have yet to be convinced that Ryan Pace is the right guy to be picking these diamond in the rough second tier free agents that are going to morph into superstars in the league when his track record is the exact opposite. That's my only problem. I would like to see stars, leaders, and the Bears spend money as opposed to good contracts that after a year you can cut them.
Yeah, I think that was just him being very, very careful. I get it. I understand that fans especially want to see the big splash, and I think there's a time and a place for that. I think we're starting to get closer to that. I think Ryan Pace correctly realized that to do that in year one, year two, year three of a rebuild can be very, very dangerous and cause more problems later on when you're up against the cap. You want to build this thing through the draft and then use free agency as a supplement than to put the final pieces in it. You know, it's not all that different than the Cubs, right? I mean, it's a different sport and you certainly build differently. But you try to build all this stuff kind of through your own system first. Then you go out and you add John Lester when the time is right. I mean, that's really how you should be thinking about this. And I don't even think the Bears are to the point where the Cubs were when they finally made those moves. But I think they're getting closer, which is why I think you see him spend a little bit more money here on Allen Robinson and probably overpay Trey Burton a little bit, but hoping that the production is better as he moves up the depth chart here in Chicago, where he was behind Zach Ertz in Philadelphia. So I think that's the thinking here. I understand the pessimism, but here's one thing I'll point out, and I made this case pretty hard on Sports Central earlier today. Forget the offense for a second, and it's fair to point out the offensive failures. But let's also not forget where this defense was 3 years ago. And it is unequivocally, definitely 100% a lot better on that side of the football. A lot of that goes to Vic Fangio, certainly. But I also think you got to give Ryan Pace credit for making sure Vic Fangio's still around after the coaching change. And just look at those pieces and those additions that have been made on that side of the football. Now they're concentrating on the offense. And if he does to the offense what he's done with the defense, this team's going to be pretty good in a couple years.
Okay, so let's talk about what these moves that have done today, does that mean this is the end of the Chicago Bears free agency haul this time around? And what does it mean about the draft? So we'll first start with the question about, are the Bears done? Are there any names on the radar? I mean, some big names got cut today. Big names, stars, Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu out of Arizona. Also, Sheldon Richardson still out there, the defensive tackle, and Ndamukong Suh from Miami, who we talked about, probably not the best fit for the Chicago Bears. But a lot of guys getting cut today. Do any other free agents fit what the Bears are trying to do?
Well, yeah, first let's just look at how this process usually works. There's this first wave, and you tend to overpay on this first wave, and that's just how it works, unfortunately. But that wave is probably now done. The Bears have announced there's a press conference tomorrow at 2 o'clock. These five free agents that they've signed, and we should also throw in Chase Daniel, who's the Bears' new backup quarterback, and Cody Parkey, who is their new kicker.
I like it.
Those guys will be there too. So this is the first wave, and that part of this process is done. Now, usually how this works, Justin, is teams tend to sit back. First day, you're usually paying the agent's price on these players. If you sit back and wait now a couple days, the market now usually comes back to you. And so are they done? No. I think that they'll let the market settle, as a bunch of teams will, and then they'll go back out and try to add a couple guys here. Let's not forget, their roster's still like in the low 50s. They have a lot of bodies
They cut a lot of guys. Have you seen it like that before? I mean, I feel like they've cut 15, 20 guys.
I don't know that I've seen it this many, especially this many free agents. I mean, I think that's the good thing. They're not cutting their own draft picks. They're cutting their own free agents that just haven't worked out or just were, you know, over the hill. So,
yeah,
it has been a lot, though. You're absolutely right. Here, though, to answer your question about what's next, I think this Kyle Fuller thing is next. What kind of interest did he get today? Because teams could start to talk to him and put an offer sheet out there. And it's very interesting to watch this cornerback market and whether or not Kyle Fuller is going to command a big offer from another team. And if he does, then the Bears are going to have a decision to make.
Did the Bears strike out in the cornerback market? Because you saw five or six primetime corners go today. They weren't the Bears. Of course, they re-signed Prince Amukamara. And they put the transition tag on Kyle Fuller, the same guys that were here last year. Did they miss on some of the big-name free agents?
I don't think so, because if you look at where Kyle Fuller and even Prince Amukamara, maybe that surprised some people, that Prince Amukamara re-signing with the Bears, not only re-signing, though, 3 years, $27 million. I mean, that's pretty much what he was making last year, which was $9 million. So I'm guessing that this is a similar type contract as he had last year, just tacking on a couple extra years. Probably won't all be guaranteed, but it gives the Bears a little bit of flexibility keeping Prince around. The reason I bring that up and that much money is it shows you that there was some interest in him, and that's where both the Bears and the league priced Prince out as a guy who's played pretty well last year, which I think is accurate. I thought he outplayed Kyle Fuller, to be honest.
Agreed. The reason they kept targeting Kyle Fuller is they were staying away from Amukamara.
Right. So if you can get Prince at the same money you paid him last year, he's still only 28. He certainly has a couple years left to play at a high level. Kyle Fuller, who'll be 26, he's transition tag, so you know you have the control to keep him if worse comes to worse, and someone even offers him a ton of money. The point being, you have your two starters here. You have continuity. Why would you go out and pay Tremaine Johnson $72.5 million that he got from the Jets? Why would you pay Malcolm Butler $61 million that he got from the Titans? I don't think that they were really in the market for those top-tier guys, considering who was already on the roster. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I only push back in the sense that they are still turnover challenged, in the way that Kyle Fuller and Prince Amukamara had great seasons in coverage. And I heard you today on Sports Central talking about their, you know, they were seventh against the pass. Why would you mess with that? But there is still missing that ball hawking sensibility that Mike Brown, if you will, to Charles Tillman, who are around the ball and possibly turning the ball over, making interceptions that changed the course of the game. That's what's missing still on the Bears defense.
Which, and you mentioned this name earlier, Tyrann Mathieu.
Yes.
I don't necessarily think the Bears are in on him, but this guy's still only 25. I absolutely loved him coming out of LSU, even with the off-the-field issues he's had. And most of that, I mean, there really hasn't been any buzz about off-the-field problems for him since he came into the league. He's been nothing but a ball hawk. The word out of Arizona is he just doesn't fit this new system that they're bringing in with the new coaching staff, and so they let him go. I'm a little bit surprised there wasn't more of a market for him. So this is where I'm talking about maybe you let this sit for a couple days and see if Tyrann Mathieu comes to you. We've seen this in the past sometimes, and it doesn't always work out, but I think of Jared Allen as a situation where he didn't necessarily get as much as people thought, and then that started as the days went away, or the days went by, that market started to come down more into the Bears' price range. Now, that was a completely different situation because they were up against the cap and they actually had to redo Cutler's deal to even fit it in. But the point being, maybe Tyrann Mathieu gets down to the point where, okay, financially, the Bears feel a little bit more comfortable about him, because I agree with you. You add a guy like that as your slot corner, you're talking about a guy who can create turnovers. And
also
and
stop the run. And I mean, he's a hitter. There's a lot, I love him. A lot about him that there's like Adam Holmes.
Injuries are a problem, though.
Yeah, he has had injury histories, but then again, that's the whole Chicago Bears team, so he'd fit in nicely. Adam Hogue hosts Sports Central on WGNRadio.com every day at 1 o'clock. Also, Bears Insider does postgame for the White Sox. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. What I want to ask you is about the transition tag and restricted free agents. I've seen a lot of buzz about whether or not Ryan Pace's penny pinching will come back to bite him in the butt when it comes to guys like Kyle Fuller or Cam Meredith, where when the Bears start stacking up on these free agents, they can't keep those guys around. So we'll talk about that coming up with Adam Hogue. Stay with us. Adam Hogue on the line here on 720 WGN, Bears Insider, who also hosts postgame for the Chicago White Sox and hosts Sports Central, which can be heard every day at 1 o'clock, WGNRadio.com. Must listen to. Listen today as we break down what the Bears did in the first day of free agency. And, of course, they'll be doing that all week. You know, as I mentioned right before, Adam, it's just this idea I've been seeing more about teams like the San Francisco 49ers or maybe rivals of the Bears being able to expose Ryan Pace, the GM's penny-pinching ways, to essentially offer bigger contracts to these guys that are restricted or on the transition tag to either force the Bears to pay more or to lose these players. I mean, is there some truth to that, the idea that we're more exposed than usual?
I mean, are you talking about guys who like, for instance, Mitch Unrein today, who I think the Bears would have liked to cap, but he ended up getting $3.5 million from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So you're basically referring to other teams being willing to pay Bears free agents
specifically Kyle Fuller.
Okay.
There was talk about, you know, teams being able to swoop in and offer Kyle Fuller more money and force the Bears' hand to have to match that. And because the Bears are moving forward in free agency, maybe not being in a position to match. Cam Meredith and being a restricted free agent in the same realm. The idea that now it might be possible that the Bears will be paying more for a Cam Meredith because Kyle Fuller because they put these tags on him.
Yeah, no, so it's interesting. I think it's a case-by-case basis. First of all, if someone's willing to offer Kyle Fuller more than the $12.9 million that he's going to get this year, you got to think about it that way. The Bears have already said, we're willing to pay him $12.9 million in 2018. Otherwise, they would not have put the transition tag on him. And so if there's a team willing to pay him more than that over the course of a long-term deal, that's a lot of money for Kyle Fuller. And so the Bears just have to trust their own evaluation. And if they feel like he's not worth that, then you trust that. And then maybe that team ends up overpaying. I think the better example of this, though, is with the guy you just brought up in Cam Meredith, who you could argue the Bears are underpaying a little bit with this tender that they gave him, which I believe was around $1.9 million. It was one point something. I don't have it in front of me right now. But it was a little bit low for a guy who was pretty good for you 2 years ago and really came in the last season as your number one wide receiver. So what that means is, sure, if another team values Cam Meredith and wants to see a young guy like that who's coming off an ACL, which, by the way, so is the
yeah, Allen Robinson.
Right? Allen Robinson and the Bears just signed. I mean, so another team could look at Cam Meredith the same exact way and offer him more. In that case, though, My guess here is that the Bears also value him more than the tender
They got money stashed away.
I think that the Bears, if some team came in and said, we're willing to give you $3 million, then the Bears would match that. Yeah. I don't think they're going to let Cam Meredith get away.
All right, so with the wide receiver position taken care of, with the two receivers that are picked up, tight end taken care of, you still look at the Chicago Bears' needs, and they really are glaring needs when it comes to rushing the passer. You talked about that on Monday, but also on the offensive line, and slot in some names that have always been backups right now. Does that give us a little forecast of what the Bears might do in the draft when we think about the overall number one, with the eighth pick of the draft being the kid out of Notre Dame or maybe the linebacker out of Virginia Tech?
Yeah, in the linebacker out of Virginia Tech being Tremaine Edmonds, who I'm still kind of struggling with because I'm not sure he's a pass rusher. I think he could be a very good inside linebacker in the Bears' defense, and maybe that's fine, and maybe he's a guy who they can still blitz a lot with Vic Fangio's creative scheme and make it work, but I don't know that he's a pure pass rusher, and I don't know that Bradley Chubb, who is the top pass rusher in this
area,
I just don't think he's going to be there at number eight, and I got to tell you, Justin, I know we talked about this on Monday a little bit, I'm starting to look at this edge rushing position a lot like the wide receivers a year ago. Because it's just a bad year for free agents, and in the draft, it's just not a great year to address that position of need. And so what I think is going to end up happening here is the Bears are going to have to sign, you know, really third, fourth tier guys, and just a lot of them, and hope some of them work out. I mean, you look at the depth chart right now, the Bears are bringing Sam Acho back. We know Sam Acho well. We know he's a dependable reserve, a guy who can fill in a pinch if somebody's hurt and be really good on special teams. But right now, he's slotted in as the number two outside linebacker behind Leonard Floyd. That's not a great position for him to be in. He's being over-slotted there. So I just worry that they're going to have to be forced to sign a bunch of third, fourth-tier guys, maybe address this later on in the draft when the depth isn't as good, and then we might be looking at this early in the season, especially if, God forbid, Leonard Floyd went down, as just a huge, glaring...
As he's done in his first two seasons as a Bear, but okay, I digress. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, overall,
sound familiar with Kevin White and the wide receivers?
Right. So when it comes to, this is our last question, but when it comes to the makeup of the Chicago Bears, we saw cuts today. A lot of the free agents, of course, as you mentioned from last year, are gone. But what about other players? I mean, you mentioned Kevin White right there, Deion Sims, the tight end. Do you have any idea of which way the Bears might go with some of the players that are currently on the roster that are either going to get bonuses or may just not fit with Matt Nagy?
Yeah, I think Deion Sims is sort of the last big name who could potentially be let go here. It's interesting that he hasn't been yet. That may have something to do with who the Bears are already looking at, and maybe they're trying to trade him too, which could be a potential option. In terms of Kevin White, I've heard that mentioned a couple times. I don't see any possible way that they cut him, and that goes even in training camp.
Why would they? I mean, dude's not getting paid much, right? I mean, it's not like he's a huge...
Well, you know, he's a first-round pick, so he is getting that money, but, you know, it's all guaranteed already, and you still take a flyer on the guy that he's still talented. He just had horrible luck with injuries. I've even a couple times, and I don't even know how seriously I'm taking myself on this, but given what happened with Kyle Fuller last year, is it that crazy that Ryan Pace might actually give him the fifth-year option because he's his first pick and he still believes in him? It sounds really, really crazy coming out of my mouth, but what if he stays healthy for a year and actually turns out to be something? Maybe, by the end of the season, it's a similar situation with Kyle Fuller where you could have locked him up for a fifth year. I guess I would say that that's still a potential possibility.
Well, Sports Central is must listen to radio, WGNRadio.com, 1 o'clock, more breaking down what the Bears did in free agency, what they're going to do with free agency in the draft coming up. Adam Hogue, WGN Radio Sports, Bears Insider, as well as the man who does the postgame, part of the postgame with the Chicago White Sox coming up this season here. Adam, thanks for joining us, man.
Thanks, Justin.